If you'll take your Bibles tonight and turn to Matthew 25 once again, Matthew chapter 25, and I'm just going to read a few verses tonight. We've already talked about this passage of Scripture last week, and we're continuing to talk about our commitment in stewardship. And being a steward or a good manager or overseer, if you will, of the things that God has apportioned or appointed to us to care for. And so we need to make sure that we are committed to Him in that matter of stewardship. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, I'm just going to read two verses tonight, verses 19 and 20 of chapter 25. And we're going to talk about something that has to pertain to that commitment to stewardship. In Matthew 25 and verse 19, the Bible says, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." So as we look to these things tonight, I want to focus in that after a time, there is going to be a reckoning. Now, you understand that that means accountability, right? That means that there's going to be some comparison of notes or ledgers or whatever. When something is reckoned, that means it's compared, right? It's lined up. Is this like this is supposed to be? Okay, that's what reckoning is. And so we need to make sure that we understand that this life that we're living isn't just some free-for-all. There's a reality to it. And there is an accountability. No matter what man wants to say, we are accountable. Okay? In our world today, a lot of people, they say, well, I want to be self-employed because then I don't have to worry about a boss. Hey, Brother Freeze, how is that? That's pretty tough, right? It's not as easy as it may sound. And listen, because there's still some reckoning if you're self-employed, okay? And so it's like the kids that say, I'm going to get away from authority, so I'm going to join the military. Yeah, good luck with that, okay? Actually, I encourage them to try that because that's a wonderful idea. All right. Now, but you understand that our work will be examined. There's not a maybe, it's a will be. And so we've got to understand that our stewardship and our commitment to stewardship will be reckoned. And it will be revealed, it'll be made known. This is going to be something that takes place, and we know in Scripture that it's called the judgment seat of Christ. Now you remember, if you look through the timeline of history, the tears are not wiped away until after this event. Because there's going to be some tears. Because there's going to be some wood and some hay and some stubble that are counted for loss. And that's not going to be good. That's going to be a sad time. So we've got to understand that our works will be examined. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to begin in verse 5. Paul, dealing with a very carnal church, trying to help them not to be carnal. Okay, that makes sense, doesn't it? In here in 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 5, we see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to begin in verse 5. Paul says this, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, And every man shall receive of his own reward according to his own labor. All right, everybody understand? So Paul's saying, look, there's a reckoning here, and it's an individual reckoning. There's going to be an accountability. By the way, back in our text, with the servants, the master more than likely gathered all three of these servants together, right, before he left. He gave one, he took out and gave one 5. He took out and gave one 2. He took out and gave one 1. And this was all public. But so was the accountability. Remember when he came back, he called them all in. Here's the one that had 5. And the one that had 5 publicly showed him the 5 and the other 5. And the second guy, he showed publicly the 2 and the other 2. And the other guy, this is one of my opinion markers here. Okay? It's my opinion that he didn't even go and dig up the talent. It just seems that way because of the wording of the King James Bible. Whether he did or didn't, I don't really know. But it appears because he says, there thou hast what is thine. So in other words, it's still there in the ground. That's the way I kind of read it. So I don't even know that he even bothered to dig it up. But let's say he did. All he had to show for was the one that he had, and it was all dirty and soiled because it had been sitting in the ground. All right? And so this is all very public. The commendations were public, but the condemnation was also public. How do you think these two guys felt? Pretty good. How do you think this guy felt? Pretty bad. And it was all known and all public. Well, so is the judgment seat of Christ going to be this way. I think we should kind of give heed to it. Like, maybe this is a big deal. Maybe this is important, how we live our lives. How many of you want to be embarrassed on that day? I don't, right? And by the way, that's a healthy motivation. There's nothing wrong with that, not wanting to be embarrassed. We ought to want to do our best for our Lord, right? And so, going on here, Paul says this. He says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Okay, so Paul says, I'm a master builder. I'm building a certain way. But you need to take heed how you're building. And he says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So, same as our story? Yes. Okay? Same as says the account, the parable there in Matthew 25. And then he says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But listen to me. Did the servant in Matthew 25 suffer loss? Yes, he did. He suffered loss. Paul says, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Okay, now we know that that's true, and these are one of the evidences of eternal security. Okay, because what is the foundation? Jesus Christ. So that's post salvation. All right, we're saved. We have a foundation of Jesus Christ, and now we build upon that. That foundation doesn't go away. Foundation stays, even if we build terribly upon it. The foundation remains. Okay, so we have that verse there in verse 15. Then he says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And he goes on, and he has some more things, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Now, according to what we have here by record of Paul, according to what we have here by record of what Jesus spoke in this parable about stewardship and about the revealing of our stewardship and the reckoning of our stewardship, We need to understand some comparisons. All right? When we receive Christ, we become the sons of God. Okay? We have sonship in Jesus Christ. We are sons of the Most High God through Jesus Christ, His Son. Guess what a son is? A son. Okay? Guess what he never stops being? A son. Okay. So, this thing about commitment to stewardship is not about the fact that we're children of God. It's not about that. It is about how we steward what God has appointed to us. That's what it's about. God wants us to be good stewards, yes? Okay? You want your children to be good children, right? And if you give your children things, you want them to be good stewards about it. My wife and I are oftentimes chastising our children about how they deal with the things that we either give to them or that are ours that they use. Come on, moms and dads. Help me out here. Doesn't it seem like your kids wreck everything you own? Maybe that's just my children. I don't know. Am I getting any help? Oh, Brother Dart. Okay, John, quit wrecking your dad's stuff. Okay. That's okay, John. My kids wreck all my stuff. So. I mean, I'll go outside and I'll be looking for this and looking for that. And one of the boys will speak up. Oh, that's broken. I'm like, why?
I don't know.
When?
I don't know.
Who?
I don't know.
They don't ever know. They don't know the important answers to the important questions. I don't get it. I'll go out and try to find, I'll pick up something and it's broken. I'm like, I know I didn't break it. And they put it back, whoever it was that broke it. They just put it back in the box and didn't tell anybody that it broke. God wants us to be good stewards. Our stewardship will be examined. Not only that, not what God gives us, but the improvements upon what God gives us will be examined. Remember, the master didn't come and examine the one talent that the guy had. He was looking for the improvements. He didn't examine the five that the guy had been given. He examined the other five that had been brought. And so God's not going to say, okay, well, why don't you bring to me what I gave you and let me look at it and see how it did. No, he's not concerned with that. He's concerned with the improvements upon what we've done or what fruit that we're bearing or bringing because of what we've been given. You know that many of us have, well, all of us have talents and abilities, right? But some have different talents and abilities than others have. You know what God's looking for? You to do something with it. And if you will, have something to show for it. I have this talent. I have this ability. This is what I did with it. And God says, well done. All right? And so that's what he wants to see. You know what? We don't find anywhere in our text tonight that the master cared how they came about these things. Did you notice that? When he said to the man who had five, he gave him the other five. He didn't say, okay, now, sir, how did you come about these other five talents? Did you sell drugs? Did you go to the casino and gamble for it? He didn't, by the way, I'm not saying you should do that. Okay? Don't go buy a lottery ticket. Okay? But I like to make bold, outlandish comments just to make people think. Okay? But no, did he ask him how he did it? No. Now, we should go about things honestly as Christians, right? Okay. Because he's a good and faithful servant. All right? Now, so, within reason or within the guidelines of Scripture, does God really have a problem with how we go about these things as long as we produce the proper results by, if you will, the proper methods? Okay, I'm going to try to be careful, but yet give us some liberty. By the way, I'm just trying to say, Are you going to do things the same way that I do things? Probably not. Okay? We go soul winning. I have a way that I go about soul winning, a way that I go about asking people the questions. I have certain Bible verses that I like to use when I go out soul winning. And they're somewhat different from Brother Freeze. And they're somewhat different from Brother Ron. They're somewhat different than from Brother Russ or Brother Camp or from that guy back there, Brother Dart. Okay? I've gone with some of these guys out soul winning. And we're not all going to be carbon copies of each other. But as long as we are doing what God wants us to do, and it's not about the methods necessarily to some degree, but it's about the motive. The motive. The motive is what's important. You understand that why we do what we do is important. Remember in prayer, we're talking about this. Was it bad that the Pharisee was standing on the street corner praying? Was that bad? No, that's not bad. What was bad? His motive. His motive. So we've got to understand that it's not necessarily the methods, although that does come into some play, but the motive is what's important. Why we do what we do. Because that's going to determine whether it's wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. If we do it to consume it upon our lust, guess what? We have our reward. If it's all about me, then we have our reward. And it's going to be burn up. And guess what? If you build your house that way on the foundation of Christ, you're going to suffer loss. But if you're doing it for Christ, that's going to be a gain to you. That's going to be what God wants. Did you notice also in our story, it's not about the quantity. It's about the quality. The five earned five other, the two earned two other. Did the one that had five, or total of 10, receive a better commendation than the one who had four? No. In the parable, other parables, Jesus says that some, the bearing of the fruit is 30, 60, 100-fold. Right? They're all different. Some of us may be one talent Christians where we just got one and we earn one other. You say, oh, that's not much. It is much. Because God said that's what you're able, your several ability. And that's what matters. The quality, not necessarily the quantity. And then, you know what? It's not about our fame in life, but it's about faithfulness. You know, it's not always the big shots that are the ones that are actually blessed by God. Oh, you know, there are some that are the face of the franchise, right? But it's the little people that do all the work. The people that nobody sees behind the scenes. You know, Christianity is that way. In our churches, there are some great, faithful people that are never recognized or noticed for anything. And they're some of the best Christians on this planet. And some of the big name preachers, or the preachers that have their name in lights, are some of the worst Christians on this planet. No, I'm just being honest with you. It's not about fame. It's about faithfulness. And guess what? I've often said this. That's why 1 Timothy 1:12 is my life verse. That God counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. You understand that not every Christian can, if you will, is called to be a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist or a missionary or things like that. But every Christian is called to be faithful. Every one of us. And so we need to understand that there's a reckoning of our stewardship. God wants us to take this seriously. In Romans 14, Paul says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. That's just the fact of it. That's how it's going to be. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says, We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And that's the accountability that we need to be concerned with. So as we conclude tonight, it's probably wise for us to think about what Paul said. And he said in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 3, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Is it going to be a well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or is it going to be thou wicked and slothful servant? There's an accountability, a reckoning. And we need to be concerned about that as far as our commitment to stewardship.